She has more from Prabhu. But Prabhu actually gave a class yesterday morning.
You were not there, right?
Only the Madhuri was there?
Yes.
So I'm just going to read out a small profile about Prabhu. Subhavilas Prabhu holds a degree in electronic engineering as well as a degree in specialized field of patent law. After a very brief stint in the corporate world, he chose to leave mainstream society to live a life of contemplation, deep studies, interpretation of various scriptures. He went to join ISKCON, becoming a monk, a spiritual seeker, and a preacher. He's been associated with Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple in Mumbai. He has served in various leadership roles. He is currently the head of ISKCON Goa, and the congregation is experiencing a very steady growth in Goa. He heads the Tulsi Books, a publishing house for spiritual books. As a preacher, he plays roles in assisting preaching programs in ISKCON temples across the world, including USA, UK, Mauritius, Australia, South Africa, Bahrain. He is the pioneer of Gita Champions League. And some of you have already participated in one certificate also, no? GCL. Gita Champions League.
What is GCL?
Gita Championship League.
What is it about?
It's about Gita. Now it's becoming an international competition to promote Gita and learning schools. After 11 years of monkhood, he once again set out on a mission to fulfill the objective of his life. Considers the whole world as his home, works with individuals, youth, corporates, institutes, governments around the world through exclusive workshops. He's a TEDx speaker. How many of you watch TEDx videos? He is one of the speakers. Have you seen him speak in one of those videos? Anyway, for your information, he is one of the TEDx speakers. He has been recently invited to address the topmost scientists of India at Defense Research and Development Organization. He is the author of many, many books. He has written bestsellers in succession on a wide range of subjects. Apart from his book series, Ramayana, The Game of Life, he has also authored the bestseller Open Night Meditations and Chronicles of Hanuman. So with this small introduction, we welcome Prabhu and over to Prabhu.
Thanks.
I'll keep you close to mind.
Vaishnavebhyo
Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Sanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, I'm very happy and glad to be in the show of you all here today. Very excited to see so many young faces. How many of you are here are students who are behind you? Four of you have can't put up your hand already. Thank you. How many of you are working here among the children? Anybody is working? All students. Good. That gives me a good focus. How many of y'all here have fear of failing? Put up your hand. How many of y'all have fear of failing in exams? Very good. How many of y'all here feel that you don't have any really good friend? Put up your hand. Okay. No, you can be honest. Please put up your hand. Okay, that's good. How many of you all feel that you want everyone to love you? Put up your hand. No, I can't believe nobody is putting up their hand. Okay, good. Thank you for being honest. The more honest you all are, the better you will benefit from this session, okay? How many of you all feel that your parents don't understand you at all? Don't look at your parents, don't worry. They don't exist. How many of you all put up a hand? How many feel that parents don't understand you at all? And how many of you all feel you don't understand your parents at all? Good. Thank you. I was just doing a survey to understand if Dubai is same like India. My survey is successful. The problems are same everywhere. Good. So, I want to share some thoughts with you all. This is not a pravachan lecture, you know, complicated philosophy. I'm going to speak about life, okay? I'm going to speak about challenges that you all as students undergo and some thoughts that might help you in dealing with aspects of life. So these thoughts will help you at all stages of your life. When you all are becoming big also and at this stage also. Why do people get scared? Why does fear arise in the heart? Anybody can tell? Why you feel scared of anything? Anybody like to say? Yes.
Because you can't control it.
You can't control it, okay. But why you feel, yes?
Lack of confidence.
Lack of confidence, okay. Anybody else? Why you feel scared, huh? Lack of self-esteem. Okay. Anything else? Why you feel scared? Darkness. Yes. Too much into the material world. Oh my God, you're a philosopher. I'm not talking anything ISKCON philosophy, okay, here. We are going to talk about life. Okay? Now, all the ISKCON philosophy that you heard, give it away. In this discussion, no ISKCON jargons. Material world, birth, death, old age, disease, perfection of life, going back to God, oh, some try to remember. We can? Yes?
Because we have done something wrong.
Ah, we have done something wrong. That's why you get scared. Very good. Everyone's mindset is coming out slowly. Fear is due to some uncertainty in life. Whenever there is uncertainty, that uncertainty leads to fear. For example, you are going to answer your exams and you don't know what questions are going to come. What happens just before the exam paper? A lot of fear builds up. But when the question paper comes in your hand and you see all the questions and you can answer at least 90% of the questions, what happens? Fear vanishes. Correct? So that means when there is uncertainty, when you don't know exactly what's going to happen,
there's a lot of fear. Like you said, if you made some mischief, something naughty you have done, and you don't know what's the outcome of that. Parents, how they'll react, it causes a certain amount of fear. Or, for example, how many of you here have ever done bungee jumping in your life? Bungee jumping is like jumping off a building, you know? You done bungee jumping? No. Anybody done bungee jumping? What is the most adventurous thing you have done in your life, tell me? Anybody? Most adventurous, like dangerous type? Nothing. Yes. Mountain climbing. Okay. Rock climbing. Paragliding you have done.
Good.
Yes. Anybody has gone in a shark cage? Cage where sharks are there. Okay. Anybody has done deep sea diving or you know gone into the
No, I'm not that type of person.
Okay. Okay. So now I'm going to ask those people who have done paragliding. You have done paragliding, right? What was your feeling when you were being thrown off?
Thrill.
Ah? Thrill. Okay. Were you scared?
Little bit.
Yes. Thrill. What did you do?
Skating.
Skating, you said?
Scared.
Oh, you were scared. Okay. But what did you do? Anything adventurous? Okay. So, why I'm asking, just try to understand what I'm asking. Okay. The question that I'm asking is, this fellow did something dangerous. Okay. I'll tell you some dangerous things that I have done in my life. There was a mountain. In my college days, I used to climb mountains like crazy. My friends used to call me a mountain goat. I'm more comfortable on the mountain than on land, you know. So I climbed really fast. So one time, four of us went to climb a mountain. And this was a really steep type of mountain. And the mountain ended at the edge. Once you climb that edge, now then you reach a road, main road basically. So from below we climbed. So below there was a beach. And from the beach we climbed up the mountain, which ended up at a road, okay. So now, four of us are climbing, and at some point we realized that we can't go back below and we can't go up because it's too dangerous. So now, we had only one option. Go up and try somehow or the other to reach up. So we really pushed ourselves and reached to the peak of the mountain, okay? And now, I was the last person. There were three people in front of me. And each one kept going up, three people reached up. The last fellow, you know what he did? He put his leg on my hand and climbed up. Because he was like really scared of his life. And now I had to climb up after that. And I tell you, that last leg of that climb, I was almost sure I'm dead. Almost sure. But then no, I managed up. Therefore I'm here, of course. But at that point of time, I was thinking about this concept of fear. There was a lot of fear in my heart. But at the same time, I was loving it. Like this fellow said, it gives you a thrill. You know, it gives you like some kind of an excitement. You're almost going to die, but somehow you survive. So that thrill of, you know, excitement makes uncertainty into an adventure. Now, in all of your lives, there is a lot of uncertainty. But why does uncertainty become fear and not adventure? Tell me, why? The reason why uncertainty doesn't become adventure and becomes fear is because you somehow or the other don't enjoy it. I'm going to tell you some things that will really, you know, make you think a lot, okay? When you see something beautiful in life, what do you say? Wow, right? In Sanskrit, there is a word for wow. Do you know? There is a word called wow, for wow in Sanskrit. In English, we know wow is wow, right? In Sanskrit, if you want to say wow, what do you say? Huh? What? Adbud. Oh, okay. Yeah, in Sanskrit, this is called as Vismay. Vismay means something amazing. How many times have we seen something amazing and said, it's great, it's amazing? Many times we take things for granted. You know, just look at like for example, I went to Burj Khalifa, you know, that old huge building. I was not really impressed. I said, take care, one more building. But the general way of seeing life is, you have to always see it as a wow factor. Let me give you some examples. Most of the times, people, they become so bland in life, they forget to laugh. How many of you all laugh a lot? Put up your hand. I'll tell you one thing, you count your years, okay? In 5 years time, you won't be laughing. Guarantee. I'll tell you why. Because after 5 years, you'll all go into colleges and then get into jobs. After you get into job, people don't laugh only. You know that? Look at your parents, how much they laugh. They'll hardly laugh. Why? Because somehow, as time goes, we forget the wow factor. What factor?
Wow
factor. We forget it completely. And for us, life just becomes so mechanical. This is the time of your life where you can enjoy life to the maximum. What does it mean to enjoy life to the maximum? That means everything that is happening to your life, you should be able to say, wow. What you should be able to say?
Wow.
If your mother makes you a dosa, and it comes in front of your plate, you should be able to say, what?
Wow.
If somebody gives you a pizza, if somebody gives you a pizza, you should be able to say, wow.
That's perfect.
But if somebody gives you something that you don't like also, you should be able to say,
yeah.
I was testing you. So the reason I'm talking about this wow factor is because there are some people, no matter how much you tell them jokes, they don't laugh only. I don't know if you ever come across such people in life.
I have, sir.
Yeah, especially older people become like that, you know.
Yes.
There are times when I go in corporates, you know, like big programs I'm doing, you know, and I'm cracking joke after joke. There are people who sit in front of me and their faces like masala dosa. No expression at all. Absolutely no expression. They don't laugh, they don't cry, they're not happy, nothing. Have you seen such people?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
No expression on the face. First rule of life is, you have to learn to be happy. You have to learn to see the wow factors of life. Unfortunately, with time, we forget to laugh. In my childhood, I remember, I think I had such an amazing childhood. I don't mind going back to become a child, you know. One of the things I remember in my childhood, one of the things I remember in my childhood is, every evening we all would sit together for dinner. My parents, myself, my brother, all of us would sit together for dinner. And half the time, you know what we would be doing while we were eating? We'd be laughing. We'd be laughing like mad. Yeah, my father was so hilarious, you know, just crack jokes like crazy. Half the time we were rolling on the ground, laughing like crazy. You know what laughter does to a person?
It helps a person live long.
It helps a person experience the vismay of life, the wow factor of life, which we many times miss. Exams, studies, the pressures of performance, competition, you know, I need to excel, all that gives you such a pressure. It becomes very unnatural, and unfortunately life gets very tough, you know. For us to enjoy life, you need to learn to laugh. Nowadays, you know, there are different ways of laughing. I'm going to share some things with you all, how people laugh nowadays, you know. If you laugh very loudly nowadays, it's considered to be bad manners. Is it right or no? Many people there. Bad. What is laughing like? Then I tell you, when I was in college, I used to sit in the front bench. You know, always front bench. But I would be laughing like crazy. When my teachers would be teaching something, you know, and it would be really funny, I would laugh loudly. You know. One teacher of mine hated it so much. And he gave me a name. You know what he used to call me? It's the secret. He used to call me Dracula. Laughing too much. So I used to enjoy laughing. But somehow, today, people cannot handle laughter. So first type of laughter, when you laugh loudly, people think you're something wrong with you. You're mentally off or something.
I don't.
So people today, they don't laugh. Instead of laughing, you know what they do? If they really want to laugh, they'll say lol. It means laugh out loud, for those who don't know. Okay? So people, instead of laughing, what they say? Lol. That means I have laughed loudly. Okay. Is there a difference between actual laughing and lol? Yes or no? Is there a difference or no? There is a massive difference, right? And it goes in worse also. Nowadays, people, if they want to laugh, they'll set a big smiley. You know? That's considered to be really laughing loudly. You know? So unfortunately, people forget the most important aspect of life, which is the wow factor, which makes you laugh, which makes you smile, which makes you happy. How many of you all know that today, most of the youngsters today experience what is known as depression? Anybody understands that this word depression? Yeah. You understand, right?
But I'm not depressed.
Oh, very good. Congratulations. So, how many of y'all have friends who are depressed? Put up a hand. Your friends who are depressed? Anybody here is depressed? Okay, let me tell you what is depression. Okay? I'm going to tell you something very shocking. You will really get the shock of your life when I tell you this. You know what is depression according to me? In one word. Anybody would like to tell what is depression in one word?
No.
Sadness.
What misery.
Is that?
Misery.
Huh? Misery. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Exam. Okay. Anything else? What do you think? What is the meaning of the word depression? Exam. Okay. Or results. Whatever.
Yeah, results.
I tell you what is the meaning of the word depression in my understanding in one word. Okay. So depression means selfishness. I'll explain. If somebody tells you I'm depressed, you know what that person is actually trying to tell?
I'm selfish.
No. That person is actually trying to tell, I need attention.
Yeah.
That person is actually trying to tell you, I need attention. I'll tell you how to find out if somebody is really depressed or not. Okay. If somebody comes and tells you I'm depressed, you know what you should do to them? What you should ask them to do? Give them a box of chocolates. And tell them, give this chocolate to all the poor people. You know what they will tell you, typically? They will tell you, I am so depressed, and you are telling me to give others something. You tell somebody who is depressed to serve others, to help others, the first thing that fellow will say is, help me first. Depression makes a person very selfish. Or rather, selfishness makes a person very depressed. Today, most people who are so-called depressed, do you ever find, how many of you are born in India? Born in India?
All of you are born in India.
Monthly.
For summer vacations, I go to India,
like
for 2 months.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying if you have gone to India once also, it's good. You'll understand what I'm saying. Have you seen poor children in India? All of you have seen poor children, right, in India? Have you ever come across a poor child who is depressed?
No.
Never. If you tell me you find poor children who are depressed, I will say impossible.
They're so happy.
They don't know the word depression. You know why?
They're a neon day.
Naturally. The reason people don't The reason poor children or poor people are not depressed is why? Because they don't lead a selfish life. Those who have a lot, they are the ones who never share what they have. And they are constantly looking at taking more and more and more and more. Anybody who has a lot tends to become very selfish. There was a small baby fish who was speaking to his mother. The baby fish asked the mother, "Mommy, why everyone is on land and we are living in water?" The mother said, "My dear child, the water is for the goldfish, the water is for the starfish, the water is for the jellyfish, and the land is for the shellfish." So essentially, human beings, when they become too much selfish, na, they tend to become very depressed. You know why? Because there is a lot of joy in sharing with others. There's a lot of joy in giving joy to others. Unfortunately, many times, we living in places like Dubai have so much. And unfortunately, we don't experience the joy of sharing. You know, in the Ramayana, there is a very interesting conversation that Ram has with Bharat and all the Ayodhyavasis. And one of the things that Ram tells Bharat, very interesting thing. I mean, if you look at it in the context of the Ramayana, it just doesn't make sense. But if you look at it in the context of life, it makes a lot of sense. You know what Ram tells Bharat? He tells him many things that as a king he should be doing. And one of the really funny things Ram tells Bharat is, never eat sweets alone. I mean, look at that instruction. This is the Ramayana. He's telling Bharat, don't eat sweets alone. Can you imagine? How many of you eat sweets alone? Tell me. Honestly. Without sharing with others, like to eat alone. Thank you for being honest. Here is an advice from Lord Ram to all of you all. If you want to be depressed, eat everything alone. If you want to be happy, share the dozen eat. I tell you, the more you share, the more you are happier. You know why? Because happiness is not really in things. Let me tell you something very interesting, okay? How happy you are, how rich you are, depends on how many things you have that money can't buy. I'll repeat. How rich you are depends on how many things you have that money can't buy. What can't money buy, tell me?
Happiness.
What it can't buy?
Love. Trust.
Time. Okay.
Emotions.
Friends. Family. There are so many things that money can't buy. What money can buy? Mobile phones, gadgets, video games. All that money can buy. You know, good stuff to eat, money can buy. But what money can't buy is good friends. I'm going to share with you all some thought on how to develop good friendships. Okay? The best way to develop good friendship is to look for somebody who's like-minded. Most people, I'll tell you what they do to make friends. For most people, your friends are your classmates. For most people, your friends are your neighbors. For most people, your friends are people who come to your tuitions. Now, or friends who are in the neighborhood who play along with you. Now, beyond this, do you have friends? Most people are within this range only, right? Now, tell me one thing. How many people actually make friends who are like-minded? What is the meaning of like-mindedness? Like-minded means think similar. I'll tell you a story from the Panchatantra. Very interesting story. and you never have thought about this story in this way. Once there was a monkey that was living on a tree, and the monkey became friends with the crocodile. You heard the story? Let me tell you the story again, and then we will see it from friendship point of view. Okay? The monkey tells the crocodile, so the crocodile tells the monkey that I want to take you for a ride today.
I know this story.
No, let me tell you again. You might have forgotten.
This is my childhood. Yes,
so, the crocodile invites the monkey sits on him. And then they go in the middle of the river. And the middle of the river, the crocodile tells the monkey, actually, I'm taking you because my wife likes monkey hearts. And I'm taking you because my wife wants you to, wants to eat a monkey heart today. The monkey says, oh my god, you should have told me. I kept my heart in the tree only. The crocodile starts sweating in the river, Because you're thinking his wife is going to beat him up, So he said, no, what will I do now? What will I answer my wife? Monkey said, don't worry. Just take me back to the tree, I'll get my heart and then we'll go back again. So the crocodile goes back to the tree, the monkey jumps on the tree, and the monkey tells him, you're a fool. He tells him, and then the monkey quotes a shloka. Sanskrit shloka monkey quotes. You have heard of this part? This is not here. I will tell you this part. The monkey quotes a shloka and he says, Dadati pratigrinati guhyam akhyati prichati bhukte bhojayate chayva shatvida priti lakshanam. Did you know that this shloka was quoted by the monkey? For those who have studied Nectar of Instruction, the Rupa Goswami, this shloka was quoted in the Panchatantra by the monkey to the crocodile. And the monkey tells the crocodile that these six loving exchanges, what are the six loving exchanges? Dadati pratigrinati means giving gifts to others and accepting gifts in return. Bhumte bojayate, that means inviting somebody to eat and you going to somebody else's house to eat. And Bhuyam akhyati prichate, that means revealing your heart and hearing somebody's heart. These six things should be done only with people who are like-minded. And there Rupa Goswami talks about Swajatiya Vaishnava. Swajatiya means like-mindedness. So when you make friends, please remember, don't make friends just because they are your classmates. Don't make friends just because they are your schoolmates or your, they travel on the same bus. Don't make friends because they are neighbors. Make friends because they are like-minded. And when you make like-minded friends, you know what happens? You stay as friends for life. For life. I tell you something that happened 2 days back with me in Dubai. I was studying in engineering, 4 years we studied, and I had a friend of mine. We became really, really deep friends. 4 years of engineering, we were there together all day and all night practically. Though we had many differences in our lifestyles and all, but we connected very deeply. I met that friend 2 days back after 15 years. After how many years? 15 years, absolutely no connection. But the day I met him 2 days back, we reconnected as if it was yesterday. I felt as if yesterday only I met him, And after 15 years of meeting him, it didn't make any difference. Why? Because there was solid like-mindedness. He had not changed, I had not changed. Though my life has changed completely, externally, but internally I was the same person. Lifelong friendship can be formed. First, if you have people where there is some like-mindedness. How do you keep these friendships? I'm sure all of you are struggling with friendship, right? Somebody does something wrong to you and then friendship breaks. And then, there's somebody else who comes in and there's jealousy that starts, It's life very complicated. I tell you three things that you should do. Simple three things that you can do to retain friends for life. First thing is, be happy when your friend is happy. I'll repeat. Be happy when your friend is happy. You know what happens many times? We don't share the happiness and joys of our friends. We want them to share our happiness, but we don't share their happiness. When a friend excels in something, sports, Do we become happy or do we become jealous?
Happy.
Are you sure? If when some friend excels in exam, do we become happy or do we become jealous?
Happy.
We should ideally become happy. Ideally we should. In fact, we should be more happier than our friend. That's the true essence of friendship, you know. So first thing is, be happy when your friend is happy. The second thing is, be sad when your friend is sad. That means when your friend is experiencing sadness, you should actually learn to be more sad than your friend. I'll tell you two stories. There was a small girl who came home and the girl started telling her mother that I want to shave my head. Mother said, come on, what's wrong with you? The girl started insisting, I want to shave my head, I want to shave my head, I want to shave my head. Somehow the mother had to listen. She took her to the barber, shaved the head of the girl. Next day the mother went to the school to find out what exactly is happening. When the mother entered the school and she got the shock of her life. She saw that there was another boy in the same class who also his head was shaved. And both of them were sitting together, you know. Both with bald heads. And the mother went to the teacher and asked her, what's going on here? You know, why did my girl insist so much? The teacher said, your girl is great. She said, this boy is going through cancer. And somehow because of the radiation, chemo and all, he lost all his hair. And all the children in the class are making fun of him. And this girl, just to give him company, she also shaved her head. This is what I am saying, that when your friend is sad, you should learn to be sad. Now, what is the meaning of being sad? It's not just about crying. Yeah? It's about experiencing the pain of the other person. In Japan, there's something that really shocked many human beings. You know? And this is a true story that happened. There was a man in one house. There was a lizard. Okay. How many of you like lizards? Maybe like lizards here? Favorite pets, lizards. So there was a lizard, okay? And somehow, when this house, some construction was going on in the house, somebody hit a nail and then nailed the lizard to the wall. They didn't realize it, but somehow or other it happened, you know, the lizard got nailed. Now, the lizard could not move, but he didn't die. So you know what? One friend of this lizard, another lizard, every day he would get food for this lizard. You know for how long? For almost 10 years. Almost how long? 10 years. This other lizard kept getting food for this lizard. Every single day. What does it teach us? Anything it teaches us? Yes.
Help our friends in problem.
Pardon? Help our friends. Yeah. Essentially, friendship is about sharing joys and sharing sorrows. In the Ramayana, Dasharatha Maharaj, he wanted to appoint Ram as the next king of Ayodhya. So he asked all the citizens, why do you want Ram to be the next king? You know what the citizens said? All the citizens of Ayodhya said that we want Ram to be the next king because when we go through problems in life, Ram comes to our house and he cries along with us. And when we go through happiness in our life, Ram comes and he's more happier than all our family members. Just because he does that, we want him to be the next king. Why did the citizens feel so inspired? Because happiness and sadness, these two times, the emotions are very high. Right? How many of you all watch cricket here? Put your hand. Okay. How many of you all get excited when India wins? Naturally. There is excitement, of course. Don't feel shy. You know. Relax. Put on your hand. So you feel happy when India wins, right? Why? My country, okay. Whatever. So see, when there is some happy occasion, you feel very, very happy, right? and you find somebody in your house crying. Do you also not feel like crying? The whole atmosphere at home is very sad, depressed, something is wrong, you know. You feel like crying, right? Now this joy and sorrow, these two are very important points in life. Anybody who connects with you when you are happy and when you are sad, you should understand that they are making an impact in your life. They are making a very important impact in your life. Especially when you are sad, whoever connects with you, that person is very valuable to you in your life. Why? Most people, when somebody is sad, what they do? They leave the person. Right? And nowadays, when somebody is very happy, they leave the person also. Why? Because of jealousy, because of envy, right? So, friendship means these two things first. First is, be happy when your friend is happy. Second is, be sad when your friend is sad. And the third thing which I would like to share with you all is something that you should do every day. This is something that will change all your relationships, whether it is with your parents, whether it is with your friends, whether it is with your brother or sister, whether it is with, you know, some stranger on the road also. Really, I am going to tell you something that's a big secret, but it might seem to be very simple. You know what this is? Every single day, appreciate at least one person genuinely. You know what is the meaning of appreciation? Appreciation means say something good. Good about them. Now, there is a difference between flattering and appreciating. In ISKCON, people are expert in flattering. You know? So, Prabhuji, you are Krishna only for me. You are so great. You are so, you know, such a great devotee. Actually, they don't mean anything most of the times. So sometimes flattering is very easy, but appreciating genuinely is very difficult. I used to do an exercise in my classes when I was teaching Gita. I would do an exercise. Every day, every month, we would celebrate birthdays. And whosoever birthday is there, if there is any friend or relative of that person, I would invite them for the birthdays. And you know what I would do? I would make their friends or relatives speak something good about that birthday boy or girl. And I tell you, people would really struggle. There was one boy whose mother's birthday was there that day, you know. The mother was cutting cake and all in front of everybody. I told that boy, come over here and tell something good about your mother. That boy started scratching his head. And after 5 minutes, he's telling, oh, what is there good to tell? I don't know. I'm thinking, I need time to think. I said, come on, you can't find one good thing in your mother to tell. He said, no. Can you imagine, you know? So people really struggle to appreciate one another. But this is a secret. I'll tell you, this secret, if you really remember in your life, you will grow a lot. And this secret is important not only in your friendships, it is also important as you go into college, it is also important as you go into, you know, having jobs or businesses. This one secret you master, you will never ever have a shortage of good friends and relatives in life. What is the secret? Appreciation. Find one good thing to speak about someone every day. Is it very difficult to find one good thing to speak about somebody? In India, all of you know Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasthakur, right? Prabhupada's guru. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasthakur, in his mutt, in Gaudiya mutt, there was one cook over there. This was Bengali cook. So, this fellow died. This cook died. So, when this cook died, all the brahmacharis in that Gaudiya mutt, they started celebrating. They had a party, you know. Moody died, you know. They were like really relieved because this was a really tough guy, very complicated guy. And he used to harass people a lot. So, Bhaktisiddhanta came over there and he came to know that these people are all celebrating and happy that this fellow died. Bhaktisiddhanta asked them, does any one of you all know at least one good thing about this fellow, about this cook? At least tell one good thing. So they all really thought a lot. And finally one fellow said that he used to wear clean clothes. His clothes were spotlessly clean. Bhaktisiddhanta said, see, at least this fellow had one good quality that you can learn from. So every human being has at least one good quality. Somebody has a great smile. Somebody, you know, is very smart and intelligent and, you know, understanding things. Somebody may be a good cook. Somebody may be, so many aspects of life, everybody is good in at least one thing, right? If you can learn to appreciate one person every day in your life, I tell you, you will never ever have shortage of friends and good people in your life. Never ever have shortage. But unfortunately, you know what we end up doing? We end up appreciating ourselves a lot. Standing under the mirror, keep looking, you know. How many of you have spent at least 1 hour in front of the mirror every day? Put up your hand. Girls, you have to put up your hand. Definitely. I wouldn't agree if you said no. Yeah. So, people love to appreciate themselves. Okay, let me ask you this question. How many of you all like if somebody talks something good about you? Put up your hand. If somebody talks something good about you, how many of you like it? At least half of you all are honest about it. Okay, good. How many of you all don't like when somebody talks good about you? Put up your hand. That's good. So at least all of you agree. So that means every human being wants to be taught to hear something good about themselves. You feel happy, right? You feel very happy. That's exactly the same with everyone. So, these three things. What are the first thing I said? Be happy when your friend is happy. Second, be sad when your friend is sad. And third is appreciate at least one thing about at least one person every day. One time I was in a college known as Bits Pilani. I don't know Bits Pilani, right? But this Bits Pilani is in Goa, not in Dubai. And there I was interacting with a group of boys. About 15-20 boys from Bits Pilani. And I asked them, what is your everyday routine? What do you do every day? And these boys told me something very shocking. You know what these boys told me? They said, every day, one of the things they do ritualistically, whether they attend college or not, one of the things they do is they play video games every single day for 8 hours. 8 hours video game. And you know how they play? They all play in network. That means all of them are sitting in their own rooms, okay? And they all play one game. Can you imagine 8 hours people spend playing video game? You know what when I heard that, I was really shocked. You know what I asked them? I asked them a simple question. Why? Why do you play so much? You know what these boys showed me? They said, we never thought about it. So they asked us a question, why you play? You know? That's why I told them, this is something very interesting that you all should know, okay? There are two questions in life. There is a why question and there is a how question. Okay? When it comes to video games, the question that people ask is not why to play. They ask how to play. But you tell them to chant Hare Krishna. The question they ask is why to chant, not how to chant. Correct or no? My proposal is exchange these questions. When it comes to, you know, doing something that is not productive in terms of your time, in terms of energy, in terms of growing, you should ask the question, why? And when it comes to something that will enhance your productivity level, the question that you should ask is, how? How many of you have watched television? Well, you can be honest, don't worry, I'm not like against watching TV or anything. Okay, good. How many of you all have seen something very, I'm going to tell you something that you should observe next time you see a television, okay? On the side of the television, you know, there is a movie or a picture, whatever is going on, serial going on. But on the sides, they have some advertisements happening. Have you ever noticed it? You know, on the side, down bar, there will be something. On the side, in one corner, there will be like a Coca-Cola, you know, cap flipping around, you know. Something is happening on one of the sides, right?
You have noticed that?
Yeah.
Do you know why that happens? There is a very deep science behind it. You know? Huh? Oh no, I'm not talking about what happens to them, what they gain. I'm talking about what happens to y'all when you watch it. No, it's not distraction. It's a, yes.
Subconsciously we are tempted.
See, this is very strong way of advertising. It's not a subconscious learning. So you're watching the television, you're watching the serial or whatever, but somewhere your mind is watching that Coca-Cola bottle cap flip, you know. Subconscious mind is watching that. So next time you go to a shop, what you order automatically is Coke. Because somewhere your subconscious programming is happening, you know. So there are many things that the world is hiding from you. And it's important that as youngsters, you should be aware of it. Only when there is awareness, yes.
Prabhuji, when you see iPhone, when it comes to, no one will even see the ad, they only see the match.
No, yeah, you are right. Everybody sees the match only. But your mind is looking at the ad. There are many ads that come on the side,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Coke ad. Why do you make,
that,
when you...
That only comes with laptops. It becomes my TV.
Doesn't go on your TV?
No.
You're very fortunate. So, anyways, the essence of what I'm telling you is that there is a lot of information download happening in you which you don't understand only. So this question why is a very important question for all of you all in your lives. So if anybody tells you do this, the question that you should ask is why? How many of you all know something known as vaping?
Oh, smoking.
Yeah, anybody has heard of the term vaping? Vaping?
No.
You have, anybody has heard of the term shisha parlors?
Shisha
parlors. You heard of shisha parlors? In Bombay now, this is like a in thing among youth. The in thing. Thousands and thousands of youngsters go into these shisha parlors. You know what they want to do there? Smoke hookah.
Smoke hookah? What's that?
Hookah is like that big pipe, you know. And I tell you, it's become such a fashion today. I asked one boy, why do you do it? This fellow said, I never thought about it. Nobody asked me the question why. Everybody thought to me how to do it. There's one fellow making a video on YouTube, how to smoke hookah. And this guy's video has become so popular. The hookah making company has paid money to make more videos of that sort. So essentially, for most youngsters, it's all about what everybody else is doing. Everyone is doing, I also have to do. So the question is, anybody who asks this question, why? Many people think that the person is a fool. They want nonsense. Why do you ask the question why? Everybody is doing it, we do it. But as youngsters, you need to learn to stand apart. Observe all the youngsters today who have been very successful in life. Sports people, whether you look at people who are in the academic world, very successful people. Look at people in the business world today who are highly successful people. Observe all of them. These are the people who in their younger days, they've asked the question, why? Those who don't ask the question why, they become normal people in society. But those who ask the question why, they become very special people in society. And therefore the question is, whether all of you all want to be just normal people, or you want to become somebody special in life. Therefore this question why is a very important question that you should keep asking. Ask yourself. And ask the world also. If your parents tell you, chant Hare Krishna, ask them why. If they give you a good explanation, you should do it. If they can't give you a good explanation, then don't do it. If somebody tells you, come and play a video game, ask them the question why. And if they are able to give you a good answer, go and play. If they tell you it's for fun, that's not a good answer. There has to be something more than that, right? So essentially, keep asking this question why till you grow. I'll end with a very simple story. And this is a real story, okay? This is a story of about 400 children. In America, there was an experiment done with 400 kids. And I'm telling you all this story because it's a very important story for all of you to hear. And this experiment happened over a period of 25 years, huh? Not 1-2 years. Over a period of 25 years, this experiment happened. They took 400 kids and they took them into a small room, one by one, okay? And in that room, these are like really small kids, you know, maybe 4 years, 5 years old, that age group. They took them in a small room and there was a table in that room, that's all, nothing else. There was a table and a chair. And on the table, there was a small plate in which there was a sweet kept. How many of you know marshmallows? So there was a marshmallow kept on that table. And the kids were told, what happened? You don't know what's a marshmallow?
No.
Marshmallow is a nice sweet. Yeah. It's like jelly. Yeah. So this marshmallow was kept on the plate. And each kid was told when he went into the room, the kid was told, if you don't eat this marshmallow for the next 4 minutes, you will get another one. You get two marshmallows. So what the kid had to do? For 4 minutes, not eat it. And the room was closed. Nobody was observing. There were cameras recording. Without the understanding of the child. And I tell you, sitting in front of a marshmallow, and nobody is looking at you, these kids were getting really tempted, you know. So some of the kids, they would say, hell with 4 minutes, you know, why should I wait? Let me eat this one that I have. They would eat up. There are some kids who like really, you know, their hand would go, they would pull it back. Their hand would go, they would pull it back. And somehow or other, you know, they managed to end up eating it. And there were some kids that were so determined, they didn't eat it at all. So now, these 400 kids, they were recorded, cases were recorded, and these people, these children, they were studied over 25 years. And after 25 years, what all these kids have become, you know, what kind of graduation they have got, what kind of jobs they have got, what kind of career success they have got, was monitored. And you know what the results are shocking. You know what the results said? All those kids who were able to resist the temptation that day, they all had become very successful in their jobs later also. And all those kids who succumbed to the temptation that day, as they grew in their lives, they succumbed to many more temptations. And they never really made it in life. They never really became, you know, great in life. What does this teach us? It teaches us that in life, discipline is very important to grow. How many of you have flown kites? Anybody has flown a kite here? Okay, good. You heard of a kite, right? All of you have heard of what kites are, right? To fly a kite, you need two things. One is a kite itself, second is a thread. And the interesting part is, when you leave the thread, the kite goes higher and higher and higher. But many times you feel that if the thread was not there, the kite would have gone much higher. But if you cut the thread, what happens? The kite falls down. So sometimes in life, we need a thread that holds us to the ground. And only when there is a thread that holds us to the ground, we can go very high. And what is the thread for all of us that holds us to the ground? And that is Krishna consciousness. Spirituality, Krishna consciousness, holds us to the ground. I'll tell you a final story and I'll stop, okay? There was a small girl, not small, teenager basically. She was going for a party with her friends. All her friends had come. This was late night. At 11 o'clock in the night, this girl got ready, well dressed, and she was leaving for the party. The mother was very worried. She came and told the girl, come on, going in the middle of the night for a party. The girl said, all my friends are going, I'm going. So the mother came out of the girl to drop her to the car. And in the car, there were other, you know, boys and girls. All of them were drunk totally. Totally drunk. So the girl was getting into the car. The mother, as she was getting into the car, the mother told her, may God be with you. Take God with you. The girl said, sorry, there's no place in the car. If God has to come, he should sit, in the trunk, you know. They went away. A little later, the car met an accident. Massive accident. The car was completely smashed. All the children in the car dead. But when the police actually inspected the car, they found something really shocking. You know what they saw? They saw the whole car was damaged except the trunk. And when they opened the trunk, they saw something even more shocking. When they opened the trunk, they saw in the trunk there was a box of eggs. And not one egg was broken. Can you imagine? I mean, is it practically possible, you know? So now many times what happens is, in youth, in the phase that all of you are in, energy, intelligence, a lot of talent, a lot of success, a lot of appreciation, we tend to forget our grounding. The kite, as it goes higher, it has to remember that it has to be grounded. And that grounding is what Krishna consciousness is. So may you all excel unlimitedly in your life, but along with that, remember that you need a thread to connect you to the ground. And as long as you are aware that the thread is there, and as long as you all allow the thread to bind you, the thread of discipline will make you fly high. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any quick questions or comments? Yes?
When you were told that all the children died, including the girl who
was
the mother? Or yeah.
Mother didn't die. Mother didn't come only. No. Yeah, the girl also. Okay, so how many of you all learned something today? You don't have to put up hands, not necessarily. No pressure here. Okay. So I am just going to summarize, I am going to tell you all words that you all can carry home, okay? First word is wow factor. Remember that, there is be vismay in life, okay? Learn to be happy in life, learn to laugh at life, learn to see pleasure in small things. Then we spoke about friendship. We spoke about how it is important to have like-minded friends. Remember the story of the monkey and the crocodile? And then we spoke about three ways in which you interact with friends. Which are the three ways I said?
Yeah.
Be happy when your friend is happy.
Be sad
when your friend is sad. Learn to appreciate. At least find one quality in one person every day to appreciate. And then, what we spoke about next? We spoke about asking the question, why and how. Ask the question, why at very crucial, important phases of your life. And then, the last thing we spoke about is, well, the last thing we spoke about. The kite and the thread. The kite has to fly higher, the thread has to hold you on the ground. I wish all of you all a very successful career, very successful college life and school life. And I wish all of you all a very pleasant friendship. And I also wish all of you all a very happy Krishna conscious life also. Please remember that before we learn to be happy, we have to learn to share with others. Spoke about depression also. Remember? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Prabhu, could you tell us about a few of your books, writings?
Oh, okay. Before I leave, I want to tell you something really important, and this is something very important for all of you, okay? How many of you all like to read over here? Put up your hand. How of you all? I mean, I'm talking about novels and I'm talking about, you know, good quality stuff. Reading habit, okay? Most of you all have. Those who don't have the reading habit, I'm telling you, one of the things you have to cultivate from today is reading habit. I'll tell you why it is so important. I have met a lot of successful people in life. Authors, actors, sports people. I have met successful business people. I have met a lot of successful politicians. And I'll tell you one thing that stands out in all those people. You know what is the one thing that stands out in all those people? Reading habit. Any person who is successful in life, in any way, has to be reading well, has to be well informed. So reading is actually a very crucial habit to develop. It will actually help you grow tremendously. In my life, I would have read at least a few thousand books. Right now, my library, personal library of books is at least about 1,500 books. I eat books, I sleep books, I practically live on books only, you know. And there is something that will really happen when you start reading. You will actually become very wise. And people will start taking you very seriously. Because whatever comes out from your mouth will be something very valuable. Okay? I'm going to share with you all something very important for all of you all to know about reading. In the last 5-6 years, I've been writing a lot of books. We have a school in Bombay called Gopal's Garden School. And in that school, I used to teach every single week. I used to spend 2 full days in the school teaching children. Right from 5th grade to 10th grade. For 2 full days I would be teaching. I spent about 5 years teaching children like that. So one time I went to the library of the school. And I saw the books that are there in the library. I was actually very sad when I saw all the books that are there in the library. But they were the best of books. Harry Potter, Nancy Drew, you know, Hardy Boys, Famous Five, and you know, all the books that youngsters love to read, Percy Jackson, all of them were there, you know. But then, the reason I felt sad was because all those books, though they had good language, and though they had good stories, what they didn't have is enlightenment. There is something known as entertainment, then there is something known as enlightenment. What we really need is entertaining enlightenment. That means you should have stories that are entertaining to the core. But at the same time, from every story you should learn one lesson, one important message of life. So what I decided, you know, I was very sad that children are reading so many of these books. I decided, let me write for our children. From that day I started writing. So far I have written 6 books that are already published, and these 6 books have become bestsellers in India. Lot of youngsters, hundreds and thousands of youngsters are reading these books. I am writing 3 more books which are going to be published this year. So I'll tell you what these books are about. These books are stories that are entertaining to the core. There is a series I am writing called Ramayana, the Game of Life. The entire Ramayana, original Ramayana of Valmiki, but written in a way that reads like a movie. If you read one book of the Ramayana, you read the 4th book of Ramayana, I can tell you will not be able to put it down. From beginning to end, it's like super packed action. You might think, I know the story of Ramayana. But I can tell you, when you read these books, you'll say, you never knew the story of Ramayana at all. It's really exciting. And the best part of these books is that, in every part of the story, there are lessons that you can learn in your personal lives. There's a book I wrote called Chronicles of Hanuman. These are 90 stories of Hanuman's life. And these are mind-blowing stories. You will fall in love with Hanuman if you read this book. There's a book that I'm writing right now. It's called Mystical Tales for a Magical Life. It's got 11 stories from the Puranas. I'll tell you, if you read these 11 stories, you'll forget Harry Potter. These are some of the most adventurous and out-of-box stories that the Puranas have. I have chosen 11 of them. And I have written them also in a way that is like an exciting novel, you know. So I would recommend all of you all to begin reading these books. Take up one of these books and start. If you like it, continue. You might actually find a treasure, you know. I am writing this book for all of you all. I would be really, really happy when I come next time that I want to hear some of you all who have read the books and share your experiences and likes and dislikes with me, and I'll be really, really happy. In fact, Penguin, how many of you have heard of Penguin Bookhouse publisher? Penguin is the biggest publisher in the world. Penguin has asked me to write 10 books for them. And these 10 books is going to be a series for youth, basically, for all of you all. So I'm going to be writing a series of books, one book on friendship only. Second, one book, there will be an entire book on dealing with fear. There will be an entire book on dealing with self-esteem. An entire book on de-addiction. An entire book on, you know, developing confidence in oneself. Like that. So this is going to be youth series I'm going to write for Penguin eventually. This year I'm going to start writing that. So I'm going to be writing a lot, you know. So be ready for some really exciting books In fact, after the Ramayana series, the next thing I'm going to take up is a series on Krishna. Krishna and Vrindavan. And I'll tell you, this, I'm writing it in 4 volumes. And the way I'm going to be writing it is as a fast moving novel. Just imagine Krishna written in a fast moving novel form. Yeah. That's the way in which I'm going to write. So I invite all of you all to be part of my adventure of writing. And hopefully some of it might help you all in your personal lives. Hare Krishna. Amen.